Counterpart by Quentin Black. Read by Frank Coles. Dedication to Auntie Julie. Prologue. War, not peace, produces virtue. War, not peace, purges vice. War and preparation for war call forth all that is noble and honorable in a man. It unites him with his brothers and binds them in selfless love, eradicating in the crucible of necessity all which is base and ignoble. There, in the holy mill of murder, the meanest of men may seek and find that part of himself concealed beneath the corrupt, which shines forth brilliant and virtuous, worthy of honor before the gods. Do not despise war, my young friend, nor delude yourself that mercy and compassion are virtues superior to Andrea, to manly valor. Polynices, Spartan warrior, in Stephen Pressfield's Gates of Fire. Chapter 1. The spectacle transfixed Araldo Mancuso. In the tiny amphitheater beneath the mansion of Albania's most influential crime lord sat demurely dressed women and sharply suited men, all seemingly possessed at what they had just witnessed, as had she. Her black wool dress parted to reveal her cleavage, and her jet-black hair swept around her head in a ponytail to reveal the shaven side section. Despite her looks, no one's eyes were on her at this moment. Within the seamless octagonal cage of glass stood the massive and magnificent tiger, its front paws resting on the almost equally large Barbary lion, breathing his last. The collective murmurings rose into a cloud of gasped excitement at the appearance of a pair of African lions. What had at first been fascinating to the Albanian-Italian assassin now took on a distasteful tone. The tiger's reward for overcoming such a predator was the task of taking on two others. That Osso, perhaps the most powerful man within the Albanian mafia, had allowed the British journalist to watch such a scene in his residence surprised her. Earlier in the week, he had ordered Araldo to track and observe Sierra Robson. Given her own sexuality and the short-haired blonde's attractiveness, Araldo wondered if the old man knew she would end up bedding her. Indeed, the way the taller, stronger woman had dominated her had been refreshingly sexy. Being one of the most sought-after assassins for both the Mafia Shqiptari and Italy's Ndrangheta, she often sensed the intimidation that even the men from their ranks felt of her. It dawned on her, the Englishwoman, gone to use the ladies' room, may be lost in this labyrinth of a mansion. She stood up amid the insane roars of the big cats and baying crowd. Slipping out the door, she danced up the stairs. Reaching the first floor, her acute hearing picked up two voices speaking English from beyond the main kitchen doors, one belonging to Sierra. They sounded conspiratorial. She slid through to find Sierra rooting underneath one of the cupboards. The chief caterer froze into a white, wide-eyed, open-mouthed statue. The Englishwoman turned to look at Araldo with anger. She walked over, her face softening into a smile, and said, "I wanted to thank the chef personally."
"Then what are you doing knelt underneath the kitchen surface?"
"Excuse me,"
Sierra replied with an acid edge.
"She was showing me the ingredients she uses."
"Show me. Look yourself. We're not starting off with you following me round and demanding I jump through hoops."
Araldo paused for a moment before walking over. When they were close, the journalist said,
"Why did you follow me?"
As Araldo's brain engaged to answer, she barely saw the lightning punch aimed for her jaw. Despite her whipping her chin around to ride the blow, the knuckles made sound contact, and she fell, skidding on the floor. She made out the hiss of,
"Lock the doors."
Araldo thought,
"Who was she? What's she here for? She fucking used me to get in here."
Araldo shot her right foot up underneath a thin steel table and pulled it over, raining the stainless steel utensils of chopping boards, pans, spoons, and knives. Sierra's negotiation of them to get at her allowed the assassin time to get back to her feet. They swapped swift, hard blows. The skill, speed, and force of the Englishwoman's fists struck fear into Araldo, who, though seemingly the faster, couldn't make the oppressive force take a step back. She spotted her opportunity and dashed her forehead into her attacker's face. The taller woman skittered back a pace, and Araldo leapt to press her advantage. Already mid-air before realizing she had been caught by a shoulder throw, her bracing did little to mitigate the pain of a crushing landing. Catching sight of the kitchen blade, she shot her hand out while tucking her head against the strikes. The chief caterer...